Well, if you want to turn to John 8:31, we're going to start there. We spent many weeks talking about practicing the presence of God and just the in our everyday lives, just spending time in His presence, just when you're going through life, not necessarily in any special way, like the, you know, there's good. It's good to have a special time set aside for God and in your devotions or whatever. But we were just talking about just in our practical everyday life, just learning to practice that presence. Not think we have to jump through a bunch of hoops in order to be in God's presence, but just that we're always He's always present. He's always with us. And so, you know, then we got into the last couple weeks. We've been talking about just. From there, just meditating on the Word, and the Word, you know, the Word is God, and Jesus was the Word made flesh, and just to, that the Word is truth, that the Word is what will set us free in our lives, and we're just going to go on and talk about that some more today. So in John 8:31, it says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And just a couple things to recap, just for the benefit of the some of the people that haven't, or maybe missed some. That word know there, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. It means this, to perceive, to understand, to recognize, to gain, to realize, to come to know. The word is knowledge that has an inception, a progress, and an attainment. In other words, you don't just know, but it's something that has a beginning, a progress, and an attainment. So when he says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples in need, you shall know the truth. So we're all in different places. We've all had different backgrounds. We all came from different households. We all had different teaching growing up. We have a different, we're all in a different place in our life concerning God's truth. But when we let the Word of God, if we'll abide in His Word, we'll come to know the truth the way we ought to know the truth. And as we come to know the truth, that truth will make us free. And it's a process. It's a process that we, you know, as the blinders come off our eyes in different areas, we all have blind spots. You know, when you're driving, there's certain areas where you just got to make sure you look because you can't see it through your rearview mirror. You can't see it through your side mirrors. You have to make sure. Well, there's blind spots. If you don't look there for sure, you could miss it. We all have blind spots for different reasons. And the Word's what uncovers those blind spots. God's Word is truth. Enduring truth. So when we give our, when we abide in the Word, when we let the Word affect our lives, we're going to come to know. He's going to show us a custom-tailored way. He's going to show us what, where our blind spots are, what the steps are to remove the blind spots, and how to get to where He wants us to get. He'll do it for all of us. There's no method. There's no 10-step way to do it. You know. The way I spend time with God, or the way He's leading me in my life. See, I have a different background than you. I came from a different family. Maybe I'm a different age. I have different blind spots. So, you know, you don't need the same direction I do because you don't have the same blind spots that I have. God, the Holy Spirit takes each of us custom tailored. Right now, in fact, you know, as many people are as in here, that's how many messages are being spoken right now. Because what I speak, the Holy Spirit's taken it and knows exactly where you're at, and He's taking it and speaking to you how it applies in your life. So everybody in here is hearing something different based on where you've come from, based on you know, your station in life, because the Holy Spirit is quickening what you need to hear right now. And that's what He does with His Word. See, He knows the truth that you need. And when you read the Word, or you hear the Word, or you go back over something in your head that you heard, or you're listening to a song that's based on the Word, or whatever, God will just make something stand out to you that's what you need. And that truth will change you. And it will, in turn, when you know that truth, it'll make you free. That truth will make you free. And we went over this, that word make free, not that I get into words, there just happened to be a couple here that I think really helped. to liberate, to acquit, to set free, to deliver. That word will make you free so that you're free. I like those words, to acquit. See, we're all, unless we're walking perfectly in God's truth, which none of us are, Jesus did. Jesus was God. He did perfectly. We all can walk. We all have the ability to walk, but there's different reasons. And that's not a bad confession. That's just the truth. Unless you're walking like God, you're not walking in perfection, right? So we all have the ability. There are things, though, that are binding us in one way or another. You don't have to. But as we let the Word of God affect our lives, it frees us. And it frees us in such a way that we don't. It's not like when you free a bird, so you can catch the bird again and put it back in the cage. If you're just set free, you can be caught and chained again. But if the Word of God makes you free, you're the only one that could put you back in bondage, because that Word affects your mind. You know the truth. That truth makes you free. The devil has no way to put you under bondage anymore. And the more we let that Word just affect our lives, then that makes us free. It liberates us, acquits us, sets free. It delivers us from where we need to be delivered. And as that happens in our lives, we get more and more free, more and more like God. We walk more and more the way Jesus would have us to walk. But what changes our circumstances, what changes our ability to walk in freedom is the Word, is truth. When we let that Word affect our minds, not just hearing it, because you may have heard everything I'm saying this morning, but if it doesn't, when you walk out of here and you go to your life or your job or, you know, wherever we go to our family's homes, and we just like basically forget everything that we say we know. Well, I've heard that, so we don't apply it to our lives. We've all done this. But it doesn't matter if we've heard it. It's what is actually affecting our lives in the middle of life, in the middle of our actions. So if that truth is just something, yeah, I heard it, kind of like, you know, you heard something in elementary school, some fact that you've memorized for a test and you don't remember it. Well, you might have heard it. And then you hear it again, you're like, oh yeah, I knew that. But it doesn't affect your life. Then it's not liberating you. It's not making you free. But when the things that God has shown you, you apply it to your life to where you face a situation where you've gone over and over the same. It's kept you chained, if you want. You come up to the same situation. You've reacted to that type of situation, whether it's daily or week, whatever. Whenever that same type of situation comes up, you react a certain way. You have habits built in. We all do. But when the Word of God comes and starts to make it so that you see the truth, and you let that Word change you to where you're about to act the same way that you normally react, but then you say, wait a minute, the Word says something different. This is not the way I've been reacting, is not truth. It's not in line with God's Word. And if we at that point say, wait a minute, I'm going to act, or I'm going to let what God's Word says determine how I act rather than the way I have, that's when we're liberated. That's when we're changed. That's when we're set free. That's what we want. Who cares if we've memorized this book cover to cover if it does not change our life? That just means your head's full of knowledge if it doesn't affect our lives, it's not worth anything. It's just memorization. It's not effective. So I want to go on a little bit. That's just kind of a recap of where we come. But just to read a couple of scriptures, let's just turn before we go on, a couple of scriptures just to kind of show where we're going. Hebrews 4:12. Everybody there? It says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, we don't even know, and I've said some of this, but just to further recap, we don't even know why we think the way we do sometimes. We don't even know we're doing it. But we may think we're walking the way we're supposed to walk when we're really, it's a blind spot. Like we said, you know, there's something that we even think, if you asked us, we think we're doing it right, but it's a blind spot. God's word will divide between our intents of our heart, where we've come from, where what has caused us to think that the way we've thought. It'll divide all that. It'll make it clear. It'll make it so that we can see, oh, this is truth. It'll divide all that. The word of God is the sword that will clear out all any kind of confusion. It'll clear out any kind of misconceptions. It'll cut through any problem that we face, any kind of problem that looks too hard for us. If we'll take the word of God and wield it, it'll cut us out of anything. It is the most powerful element in the universe because it's God. God is His Word. And when we read the Word, it's not just us reading a bunch of words on the page. It is actual. It is God Himself speaking. It is eternal truth. And so it will take and change us from the inside out. When we can't see things ourselves, but God's Word is just so powerful, it'll just divide and show us what we need to know. This Word will change us. Let's read another quick scripture, Proverbs 4:20 through 22. Proverbs 4:20 says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you." We spent a good amount of time on this last week, but I'm just going to just go over a couple things. It says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings." See, we give attention to God's word, the eternal truth, over all these other things. Give attention first to His words. Incline your ear to my sayings. That means incline it away from other stuff that may be distracting you. "Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." Just like we just said, it doesn't matter if we've heard it, if it's not before us and it's not in the midst of our heart, so that when we go through just life, we're on our job or we're taking care of kids or whatever, that it's affecting us there, that we keep them constantly in the midst of our heart. "For they are life. They are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." God's word is life to us and health to us. God's word, another translation says that it's medicine. God's word, whether it's physical, emotional, a mental, relational, financial, whatever, God's word is medicine. God's word is the medicine that we need to change our circumstance. And if we'll let the Holy Spirit direct us and show us the steps that we need to take, if there's something we need to tweak over here or whatever, through His word, in combination with the Holy Spirit leading in and guiding us, it's medicine for our lives, period. There's nothing God cannot handle. God comes on the scene. It doesn't matter what we're facing. It doesn't matter how impossible it looks. Circumstances may tell us something contrary to the word, but God's word is medicine. It's the cure-all. And it never fails. Ever. Never. Ever. There's no situation that God cannot handle. Jesus never met a situation He could not handle. Never. They tried to kill Him. He just walked. They tried to push Him off a cliff. He just walked right back through them. They could not kill Him. He laid down His life. Jesus was not killed. He laid down His life. They couldn't kill Him all His life. They could not kill Him at the end. He let them take. They came to get Him. "Who are you looking for?" They told Him. He said, "I am." They all fell down. They couldn't. He's God Almighty. He's all powerful. God Almighty is our Father. Jesus is our Savior. He's the one who wrote the Word. Because He is the Word. Humans wrote down the Word. He's the one it is Him. This is Him that we're reading about. So when we read the Word, or the Holy Spirit quickens the Word to us, it's God Himself, and God is not limited. Only limits He put on Himself, or only limits He has is what He's put on Himself. He won't lie. He's always just. He's never going to break anything that would contradict his word or contradict what the limits he's put on himself, but he's not limited to any. Our situations can't overcome him. And his word is the way he goes and shows us what his will is, what should be in our life. And when we read the word and when we get inside of us, his power is there to be medicine for whatever we need. So in verse 23, it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you." Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart centered up on the Word. Just know that when you decide that you're going to make the Word first place, that you're going to incline your ear to the Word, that you're going to take the medicine of God's Word, that there will be resistance to try to pull your attention back off the Word. Don't be surprised when that happens. Expect it. And that's not, again, that's not a bad thing to say, oh, this is just going to happen. It's because we have an enemy that will try to push us away from the truth. That's what he's doing. He's trying to blind people all the time, trying to keep them away from the truth that's in Jesus, trying to keep them away from the truth that Jesus is their Savior. Well, there's no God. Oh, well, there's nothing, you know, God or Jesus is just another person, whatever. He'll try to keep people just deceived. He's going to try to keep people away from the truth, because if we get a hold of the truth, it'll make us free. And if we're free, we can tell other people and they can get free. An enemy hates God, and he hates anybody that loves God. And he hates that. That's why when you try to, you say, I'm going, by golly, I'm going to center up on the Word. I'm going to let that change my life. Stuff will try to pull you off. It's not like a bed of roses. I'm not trying to say things are just hard. I'm just saying we have God Almighty on our side. Jesus has taken care of everything. But he said himself that there will be tribulation, but and there is tribulation in the world, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Just okay, so we'll go there real quick on our way to something else. Let's see. I got to remember where it is. All right, John 16:33. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. These things I have spoken to you." God, you know, through the Holy Spirit has spoken to us all kinds of things throughout the Bible. He said, "I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." He didn't say if, you will. We live in a fallen world. We are Christians. If we have trusted God Almighty through Jesus as our Savior, then we're a child of God. But the world is still fallen. There is an enemy that's the god of this world, and he will try to come against us. Plus, we just are, you know, the world is fallen, so we're going to deal with the stuff in a fallen world. And so we will have tribulation. Tribulation, like pressure, squeezing, is going to come down. Have you ever felt like things are squeezing you? Or pressure. It's just like pushing you down, like, you know, you feel it. Well, Jesus said that would happen. But he also said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So when we go to put the word in our lives, we were just reading in Proverbs, and we go to make that the word, the final authority in our lives, do not expect everything just to fall in line and now you're just going to walk the rest of your life without a problem. Because when we do that, we are surprised when something comes in our life that doesn't, we don't think we should have it. And so we think we did something wrong. And instead of still agreeing with the word says, we can go off and be distracted and not realize that Jesus also said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And so we start trying to figure out, what is it that I did wrong, or why is this happening, or what did God let this happen to me? And we start getting our focus off the fact that God said he's overcome it. Whatever promise that applies to our situation, you know, that we start, instead of looking at that and giving our attention to that, we get sidetracked over here into why or what's going on. And we don't just say, well, it doesn't matter. Jesus said there's going to stuff come, but I still have the power over whatever this is, and I don't have to be, I will overcome it. Jesus didn't, he had all kinds of stuff come at him. He had people that just, you know, sat there and just hated him, looked at him, just waited for him to make a mistake. Tried to kill him. Yet he didn't just go, oh no, I must not, you know, he's a man. He was God, but he was a man. He had a natural mentality and everything. He didn't go, oh, maybe I'm not God. Maybe I'm not the Messiah, whatever. Well, all these things are happening to me. They're supposed to love me. No, they hated him. Don't be surprised when things happen. They came to him. He didn't go, oh no, what am I going to do? He just overcame it. They couldn't throw anything at him. Nothing. Untouchable. Well, we might have stuff come, but we're sons and daughters of God. We have the greater one inside of us. When we walk out, we say, no, well, okay, there's this situation, but this is what God's truth says. So in this situation, instead of letting something else dictate what I'm going to think, whether it be circumstances or what else somebody else says about my circumstances or what somebody said on TV about circumstances, I'm going to say, but God's word still says this. So just because this is looks like it's true, this is truth. This could be a smokescreen, okay? Like a carnival. It looks like something else is true. And the enemy will do that. He'll make it look like something else is true, but if it contradicts the word, it's not true. It doesn't matter if it looks like it. God, if it looks, a circumstance comes in that looks like something, I'm not saying that it's not real. I'm saying it's not truth the same way God's word is truth. If God's word says something and it contradicts a circumstance, then something's got to give. If God's word said there was something, that this is the way it's going to be, we have a choice. We can believe A or we can believe B. Now, if we choose to believe B and God said it, either the circumstance is going to line up, change to line up with what God said, or God's a liar. One of the two. But if God's word is truth, then that's where we go. It doesn't matter if something comes into our life that's a tribulation or pressure, we still say, no, wait. God is true, his word's true, and I'm going to let that change my life. So anyway, that's a side thing. So let's go to Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6. So we've been talking about meditating the word. When you meditate just means to go over, to just let it go around and round in your head. Go over in your mind. When people say they're meditating, you know, you're thinking about something. Well, when we let the word of God, we meditate on the word of God, then that will start, whatever we meditate on, whatever we think about all the time is what's going to affect our actions. And so when we let the word of God be the thing that affects our actions, then we'll see the results. Philippians 4:6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, we're going to go on there, but look back what it just said. Be anxious for nothing. So when the tribulation comes, when pressure comes, when you feel squeezing, when you feel that crushing that feels like, what, why, and you're tempted to think, why is this happening? What's going on? What am I going to do? And you start feel tempted to get anxious. He says, be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious. Don't get all upset. Instead, in everything. In everything, in every circumstance, wherever you're at, whether you're at your job, whether you're at home, whether the situation has to do, you know, with something at work or with your children or with, you know, some other relationship or with financial or whatever, in everything, by prayer and supplication, prayer just talking to God, telling him what's going on, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ. And what did Jesus say over there that we just read in John? He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So he said, I've spoken to you these things so that you will have peace. His word is so that we can live in peace. Really, if we're walking in the light of what God's word says, not that there's not these distractions, but if we get so centered up on what Jesus has done and what we just read, that he has overcome the world, that the God who created the world is with us all the time, that he said, yeah, there's going to be trouble, but I'm with you and I've overcome it. That if we just imagine ourselves walking with God Almighty himself, which he is, the Holy Spirit resides in every one of us. He's walking around you with us wherever we go. He's in the circumstance. So if we get so centered up on the fact that Jesus has taken care of every situation before we ever encounter it, that before we were born, he saw everything we were going through, that there may be things coming into our life that we don't like, but he's already seen ahead. He's made provision. He's already spoken his word. He says there's a way out. He's with us. And that because of his sacrifice, we're with God. We're right with God. That all the promises that he has made us is upheld through the covenant that we have through Jesus. If we get so centered up on that, and that's what we meditate on, that's what we give attention to, then when something comes, we say, wait, I don't have to be anxious about this, because God's word says whatever applies to our situation. I don't have to be anxious upon it. I'm going to go and talk to God about it and say, God, you know, there's this and this and this, but your word says this and this and this. I thank you that your word is true in this situation, regardless of what I see. And you let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, just like Jesus just said, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. When things come, if we let this, instead of everything else determining how we're going to react, we let God's word and the fact that Jesus' work is complete, it's finished, that he's walking with us, when we get so centered up on that, then there's nothing that can take us out of our peace, and nothing that could overcome us. So he says in verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." He just summed up the word of God there. If there is anything, so when we come to a situation, if there's anything that doesn't fall into this list that's coming to our minds, that's when we have to say, no, I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to be fearful. If, you know, fear and anxiety does not fall into this list. First of all, whatever things are true. Like I said, there can be smoke screens. It looks like something. And when I say true, it might be real, but it's not the word of, it doesn't line up with the word of God. So if God says one thing and our circumstances say another, it's got things, the eternal truth is what God says. So whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there's anything, any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. See, the word tells us what falls into those categories. If we're not sure, something we're thinking. I mean, you know, if you have the thought to kill yourself, that's not of God. If you have the thought to go out and rob a bank, we know that's not of God. Some things are pretty easy to discern. Other things, you know, if that's where that word of God is the dividing line. If it contradicts the word, then we put it out of our head and say, no, I'm gonna meditate on what God says. He said, meditate on these things. If we meditate on the word of God, on what's true, on what's real. And when we let that word, if we let God's word change our thinking, change what we think on every part of every day, and we replace anything that does not line up with the word, line up with what we've read, line up with what God's telling us, no, you know, you need to change that. And we say, okay, this is what the word of God says, so I'm going to go in this direction. When we do that, that frees us up, that liberates us, that frees us from anxiety, because we're looking to what Jesus said. We're looking to what he said. And he said, if it doesn't fall into this list, don't meditate on it. Throw it out. Get rid of it. And we'll have peace. That peace will guard our hearts. Will guard our minds. That word will change us and make us free. We let that, what we and there's, we talked about, we've talked about ways to do that. We just let God direct us. If we're reading something, it's sticking out to us. If we could just think about that same thing all day, let that thing go on in our mind all day. If there's something that God's spoken to us, just meditate. Just means to go, let it go on in your head and just go on and on. Think about it. Go over it. To where that is what we believe more than anything else. We get to where that's our first reaction, is what the Word of God says, more than any other circumstances. Like this, I'll give you one final example and we'll close. As we let this Word change our thinking, change our everyday circumstances, as we let the Word of God divide between our thoughts and what is true and not true, and we let God adjust our way of thinking so that we come up to where He's thinking, and we go up and up, and over our process of time, we just keep growing. As we do that, we replace old thoughts and old programming with new programming, and that's what frees us up. That's what changes how we view life. Until when something that comes into our life contradicts what the Word of God says, we dismiss it. Now, you become so hardened in what God says that you dismiss everything that contradicts it. Just like, right, you know, in different areas of life right now, what God's Word says seems hard to believe because we've been so programmed to believe something else that was false. We have to just flip it. And the way we do that is by just thinking about it, meditating on it, just letting God show us how to do it. Not like a work saying, oh, I just have to meditate. I guys got to do it so much. No, just let God show you how to do it. Ask God, and you just, if you'll just abide in His Word, let Him show you what to change, He'll do it. So the example is, like, right now, I think everybody in this room would agree that 2 + 2 = 4. Now, why, and you believe that to such a degree because you have been programmed with that all your life. Not all your life. You know, whenever they started teaching that, sixth grade, or I mean, when you're 6 years old or 7 years old, first, second grade, whatever, you have been taught that 2 + 2 = 4. You have flashcards. 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 = 4. To where you can just do it like this. You can do so many. My daughter's going through flashcards right now where she had, how many can she do in 3 minutes? Just to where it's like this. You have got that so ingrained. Now, before that, you didn't know. You're 3 years old, you don't know what 2 is. 5, you may know, well, you may get it once in a while. Oh, 2 + 2 = 4. But if I told you, no, it's really 5, you say, okay. You're moldable at that point. But there came a point a long time ago where you believed 2 + 2 = 4. And that happened a long time ago. There's a lot of water under the bridge since then. So you know it's 4. Now, let me ask you a question. If you went out and bought a $300 calculator and you punched in 2 + 2 and it said 4, or it said 2 + 2 and it said it was 5, what would you say? Wrong. The calculator's wrong. I don't care if I paid $5,000 for it. 2 + 2 = 4. It is not 5. It's not 3. It's not 1. It's 4. I know that. If the President of the United States came to you and said, are you sure it's 4? Are you sure? On national TV, if somebody put a mic and said, what's 2 + 2? Would you hesitate to say 4? If they said, if you had the smartest, now, you know, you're getting to where something may, we may start wondering what's going on, but if somebody stuck a mic in your face on national television, you had some guy, you know, graduated from some prestigious university, and he's saying, are you sure it's 2, you know, 2 + 2 = 4? Or he told you it was 5, you know, what would you say? I mean, most of we had that so ingrained that we'd say it's 4. And if you say, no, it's 5, you might wonder what's going on, but no, it's 4. Is this a trick question? What are you trying to pull on me? No, we are so convinced of the fact that 2 + 2 = 4 that we'd argue with anybody. You know, unless you're trying to play some math trick on me or some, you know, proof that to prove some funky way it's not. In basic operation, I can get, you know, 2 items, put them there and get 2 other items and show you that it's 4. Well, see, when we get that convinced, when we start reprogramming our mind to where when this Bible says there's something true, you know, and the circumstances say the opposite, that we say, that's wrong, this is right, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it looks like. That has to be false. Those circumstances, they have to be false because God said, he said the opposite. That may be real, but that's wrong. See, when we, and that comes through just letting the Word of God, let God through the Holy Spirit just change our mind, let His Word become to where it changes our actual thinking. It changes our thinking. And God knows how to get that job done. There's not one plan that can get it all done in our life, but He knows how to do that. And as we just believe that it's Jesus and not us, and believe that it's Him and He'll show us how to do it, and believe that really He's taking care of everything, we get it so set in our life that God has taken care of what we need to be taken care of, and all we have to do is believe that, that's when things change. That's when things change because we don't let the circumstances push us off. Thank God.